Message today is the number one word in heaven. And I'd like to read to you from the Old Testament. Isaiah was happened to be one of those people that got to see to the other side. And what he saw was this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the post of the door moved with the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Praise be unto God for the reading of God's word from the Old Testament. And now let's listen to the reading of God's word as we read the 11 verses of the fourth chapter of the Revelation. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I love this scripture. Aren't you glad the door's open? Somebody went up there and opened the door and left it ajar just so I could come through. And the first voice that I heard was like it was a voice of a trumpet, and said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne looked like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders, sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and around about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings with him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure were they created. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of the fourth chapter of the Revelation. And praise be unto God for He that sitteth on the throne and the glory that surrounds Him.
Sing a new song. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Yeah. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
What a wonderful thing. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I don't know anybody against heaven. I don't know anybody that don't want to go when they die. Just nobody wants to die. I don't blame you for that. You're not supposed to want to let go of your life. But when you do, and you will, one day surrender your life to death, as we all will. Mortality rate is the same today as it was in 1500. Are 2,500 before Christ. 100% of the people who are living die. And I'm concerned about what's going to happen to me when I do. So I've made arrangements for a ticket on the Glory Bound Special to take me to heaven by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm expecting, when I close my eyes in this world, to open them up in the other side. And I'm expecting to look, first of all, in the face of my Savior and my Lord, and second of all, to see all of those saints who've gone on. I'm not particularly concerned that I see streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl. It'll be there. But I'm concerned with Him that sits on the throne and how I can come to the place that I can stand before Him in that day. I, who was born in sin, and who am a sinner not because I sin, but because that's who I am. I who am short of the glory of God. I who do not know for sure anything much except that Jesus loves me and died on the cross and rose again and is coming back. I'm uncertain about lots of things in this world. I'm uneasy about a lot of things in this world. And I have to tell you, I don't know which way things are going, but I know how they're going to end. And I've made arrangements, praise God, to get over there. Now, I don't know what your idea of heaven's like. People have all kinds of strange ideas about heaven. I hear them all the time. They talk about it. They talk about fishing in heaven. He liked to fish, so he's probably over there fishing. I tell you on the authority of God's Word, there will be no violence in His holy city and in heaven. I don't know if there'll be fish there or not. I haven't asked Him about that. He thought it was important. He would have told us. I don't know if there'll be animals other than the creatures around the throne. I know there will be plants. I know there will be trees and fruits and flowers. I know that. The Bible says so. But it doesn't say anything about fish, and I'm sure
that it would be a violent thing. You say, oh, I don't think fishing's violent. You ask the fish about it. Fish probably thinks it's pretty violent when he gets a big old hook hooked in him and jerks him out and he's bleeding, and you take him out of his element and throw him in a pan or a boat or something. I'm not against fishing. The Lord must like fishermen. First four apostles he picked were fishermen, and they caught him by the hundreds in a net. But what I'm saying is, I don't know what your idea of heaven is, but I've heard people talk about playing golf in heaven. And from what I've seen of golf, you're going to have to be some sanctifying done on the players before they can get into heaven. I don't know that there's golf in heaven. Why would you want to spend your time batting a ball around over glory when you have the throne of God standing in front of you? It's funny the kind of things we have in our mind. I heard a priest say once that his family would be playing cards and having a drink in heaven. I don't know what kind of heaven he had read about or where he read about it at, but I have no idea. There'll be no poker in heaven. I can't see Peter and Paul playing blackjack on the streets of gold. I can't hardly believe that they even play old maid in heaven. And sometimes we talk about, well, Pop's gone on. I guess him and Mama's having their first spat in heaven. Well, I tell you, if that's your idea of heaven, I don't want to go to it. If they're going to have spats and say words at each other and do things like that in heaven, I don't want to know anything about it. So we go on and on and on talking about heaven. And you know what we talk about it? We talk about it in terms of things we know that we consider pleasant here. I don't think people particularly mean anything horrible, but I just have to tell you, there's none of that in the Bible. Heaven must be a gorgeous, wonderful, marvelous place. And there's a fallacy in the theology of the average mind of Americans that everybody's going to heaven. I'm here to tell you this morning that heaven is a special place for special people. And I'm here to tell you this morning that being a good citizen is a wonderful thing. Paying your debts, being honest, is a great thing. Being civil and nice and belonging to civic organizations is a nice thing. But it won't take you through the gates of the city, and it won't qualify you to stand before the throne of the Almighty God. I have to tell you, when I look at heaven through at least two men who have seen it, John and Isaiah, I have to tell you, that must be a stupendous place. And there's a lot going on in heaven. So let's look at heaven. And Tommy Bates sings a song, "Wonder What They're Doing in Heaven Today." Well, what are they doing in heaven today? What's the angels doing? What are the seraphim and the cherubim doing? What are the creatures around the throne doing? What are the elders that sit around His throne doing? What are the people who have gone on that are there? What are they doing? What's happening in heaven today? I can tell you, if you were looking for a quiet meeting, you wouldn't want to go there. I can tell you from the scriptures that I just read to you that they're singing and they're chanting and wonderful things are happening. God Almighty is sitting on the throne. He's never been anywhere else. He's never abdicated the throne to anybody. He's never given in to anybody. And before the throne, on the right-hand side, is the Lamb who has come to make intercession for the people of the world, who presents His nail-scarred hands and feet, His spear-pierced side and His thorn-pierced head, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in the sight of God, who's standing there as we pray in His name, and God our Father listens to us and answers our prayers. What a wonderful thing that's going on. And you say, these are fantastic, far-out creatures, seraphim and cherubim, creatures with eyes before and with behind, creatures with heads on faces on all four sides, creatures who have eyes within and eyes without, creatures with six wings and multiple winged creatures who fly and who cover themselves. But they all do one thing in common, elders 24, 12 on each side, sitting around the court throne of heaven who are wearing white robes and have crowns on their heads. And they all do the same thing all day long and all night long, for it's never night there. It never stops there. The creatures, the seraphim and the cherubim, call out. Isaiah heard them calling out, and John heard the same thing 700 years later. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They rejoice and praise Him for He being the Creator. They rejoice and praise Him for His unerring and His unchanging character. They rejoice and praise Him for the gloriousness of His person. And they bless a Holy Father, a Holy Son, and a Holy Spirit that's there in heaven. They bless the works of God and the greatness of God and the graciousness of God. They bless a holy God because He has never been touched by sin, never been touched by evil, never as much as made the shadow of turning in Him, in His holiness and His righteousness. He is holy because He is separated from all sin, all ungodliness, all hurt, and all things that are not like God. Holy is the One who sits on the throne, and He lives within a holy city, within whose bounds will never come and never have come the likes of Adolf Hitler or Mussolini or Dillinger or anyone else, who will never see the likes of murderers and thieves and robbers and adulterers come within those gates, because that place is a holy city for holy God to make His home in. And within that holy city, there is the holy throne of God. No one worthy to sit upon the throne except a God so holy that the brightness of His glory would destroy you like a gnat in the sun if you came close to Him. What a marvelous and wonderful thing it is to look into the holy place of heaven, a holy God, a holy city, a holy throne, surrounded by holy seraphim and cherubim, angels and elders and creatures that are too fantastic to describe, all clothed in white and barefoot, standing before Him because they're standing on holy ground. People don't wear shoes in heaven. They go barefoot because it's holy ground, and they're walking on the ground that's holy. What a marvelous thing it must be to go to heaven. What a marvelous thing it must be to be in heaven. We talk about all the sights and what we see in heaven and what people will see in heaven, but there's more than to see. There's something to hear in heaven. They sing, they play music, they praise, and they glorify His holy self. Lightning flashes from the throne, and He is like a crystal or a diamond listed as a sardine stone in the King James Version of the Bible. Lightning and thundering and voices and saints crying and angels singing and people chanting holy unto the Lord, and continuously heaven is filled with the glory of God as they cry holy and praise Him before His name. And heaven, my friend, is the holy temple of God. It is the place where God lives, and you come to see Him and to worship. In the book of the Revelation, I saw that the temple was opened in heaven, and John could see into the temple. I wonder why people have never read the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation. I wonder why they've never looked into it. They're continuously and constantly looking for the opportunity to find the Ark of the Covenant. There's always been this question of, where is the Ark of the Covenant? Jeremiah carried it out and hid it in a cave so that the Babylonian invaders could not get it. The question is, did he hide it down in the recesses under Mount Zion? Is it still under there? People in Ethiopia believe that he carried it to Ethiopia, and it's hid in Ethiopia in a temple. We even write movies about the lost ark. People are looking for the ark. If you read the 11th chapter of the Revelation, when it opens up and God's sitting on the throne, what was the Ark of the Covenant? Well, it was a box that contained the things of God covered in gold. And on each side of the box were cherubim with their wings meeting. But what was the middle of the box? It's the mercy seat. It's the throne of God. It's the place where God makes His dominion and sits and passes out the glory and the mercy that He has. And Revelation said when the temple was opened in heaven and He saw these wonderful things I'm talking about, He saw the Ark of the Covenant. Why are they looking someplace else for it? God has carried it up to heaven. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to see the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony of God. It's there. The Bible says the Ark of the Covenant is right there in the throne of God. And where is it? Well, you see, everything that Moses made in the tabernacle and in the temple was just a reflection of what's really up there. What's really up there is the real throne. And around Him are the real seraphim and cherubim. And all around Him and everything in the temple, when they went in and waved the incense, when they went in and washed the priest before he dressed and washed him after he went in and washed his feet and hands before he went in, and everything he did indicated one thing, that there was a holy God inside of the Holy of Holies that no one could approach unless he was worthy to approach the throne. And the thing of it is, my friend, one day, one glad day after a while, we used to sing, somebody is going to sound the trumpet and somebody is going to call from heaven, and you, my friend, are going to be summoned to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're going to be summoned to stand before Him. And the question is, oh my, how am I going to do it? I am a sinner and I have sinned. I have come short of the glory of God. How ever am I going to stand before the throne of God? Well, when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel comes from heaven, the only ones that are going to hear it are those who are worthy to stand before the King. They have already approached the judgment seat and by the blood of Jesus Christ have washed their sins away, not covered them. That's what the blood of bulls and goats did in the Old Testament, and sheep. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? When He calls, I can go. So who's going to be in heaven? I read through the Revelation to find out. The overcomers are going to be in heaven. Who are they? Who is an overcomer? It's what did we have in civil rights marches, we sang in the streets, we shall overcome. How are we going to do that? We're going to fight till we get out. We're going to walk till we get out. We're going to climb till we get out. We're going to suffer till we get out. But in the end, we're going to overcome. And those who are in this city are the overcomers. They are the ones who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. They are the ones who have been crowned with crowns of righteousness. They are the faithful ones who have endured to the end. They have not taken the mark of the beast, neither his name nor his number, but they have been faithful to the end. They have endured their hardships, carried their loads, bore their burdens, and they have been faithful in their testimony to Jesus Christ. And when He comes and calls, they're going to be able to stand before Him. Because you see, God said, no man can look at me and live. Only dead men can stand in the presence of God. So you see, when Christ went to Calvary, He died for me. And when I went down in baptism with Him, I died with Him. And my old man is gone. And now I'm a dead man. I'm dead to sin and dead to my past and dead to all the things that would keep me from meeting God. So when He calls, I am a living new man, born again, free from sin. Happy night and day, we used to sing. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you, Jesus is coming back. And my friend, He's coming back to take us to this holy place. And the word there is holy. They all cry it continuously. It never stops. Everything is white. Everything is gold. Everything is pure. And the word is holy. It's separated unto God. God will not share His glory with the devil or anyone else. And He won't share it with you. You're not going to get to claim you got saved by yourself. You're not going to get to claim that it was your goodness and your grace
that got you there. You're not going to get to claim that you hacked and clawed and worked and it was your goodness that got you there. The truth is, my friend, when you stand before Him, you're going to fall on your face and give Him honor and glory because you know that it was by the blood of the Lamb and your testimony that you had that blood, that you're there with Him in the very presence of God. But I have to tell you something, my friends, and you've got to listen, and you've got to listen good. You say, hey, man, all that stuff's wonderful. I could just get high on that, and I do. I mean, I actually leaped up from the desk this morning and walked around the office just hollering and praising God. You say, yeah, just looking at all this good stuff. You say, you're crazy. Oh, yeah. We sing about it sometimes. Holy Ghost got my mind, Lord. My mind is gone. Amen. You remember that old chorus we used to sing? Well, let me tell you something, my friend. One time Jesus said there was a man who had a wedding, and he invited guests to come. And the guests came, but one man came in, and you see, wedding invitations were given a long time ahead. And you weren't expected to provide your own robe to come in the wedding. The people who were putting on the wedding provided garments for the people to wear when they came into the wedding. And yet one man had the audacity to come without a wedding garment. And he came, and the wedding garment was there. The invitation was there. The time was right. And yet he walked in his own clothes and in his own self. And you know what they said? Friend, why did you come this way? Why did you not make preparation to be at the wedding? And you know what? Somebody said, oh, he was there. He'd never be cast out. They picked him up and they threw him out. And they threw him into outer darkness where there was weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, that sounds too much like hell to me. I don't want a thing to do with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and I certainly don't want to do anything with outer darkness, and I certainly don't want to hear anything about a bottomless pit or anything like that. I don't like any of that. But you see, this man came, and he came unprepared. Now, the sad thing is, my friends, that the book of the Revelation is very clear who gets to come and who doesn't get to come. Carol, let's see who gets to come in Revelation. There it is, Revelation 21:7. Now I'm going to let her put it up there, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Good News for Modern Man. I want you to hear it in modern English as you read it in the King James Version. And we're going to begin reading at verse 7, and we're going to read till we finish that section right there. And listen to what he says. Listen in verse 7. Whosoever wins the victory will receive this from me. I will be his God, and he will be my son. But listen, there's more to it. But the cowards and the traitors and the perverts and the murderers and the immoral, those who practice magic, those who worship idols, and all liars shall place them in the lake burning with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So everybody's not going, are they? There are some people that are not going to be inside the city. Read it from the King James Version. But the fearful, oh, I can't serve God, because they might talk about me. I might lose my job. They might think I'm square or stupid or old-fashioned. The unbelieving. Well, I just can't believe that stuff about heaven and hell and about Jesus on the cross. The abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters and all liars. They're all going to have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. They're not going to be in the city. Why? Because it's a holy city. And the word in the city is holy, holy, holy. There's no room for that in a holy place and in a holy city. Listen to what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. And this is in good modern English. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that old stuff in the Old Testament. Well,
I'm not reading any Old Testament stuff, but I believe all the stuff in the Old Testament. You know why? Because it's God's Word. Surely, beginning in verse 9, you know that the wicked shall not receive the kingdom of God. Do not fool yourselves. People who are immoral or worship idols or are adulterers or homosexual perverts, who rob, who are greedy, are drunkards, or who slander others, or who are thieves. What's the next thing say? None of these shall receive God's kingdom. Is that what it says? Let's go back up to the other verse, Carol. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor amusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, that's in the Bible? Well, yes, it is. It's right in there. And I have to, you say, why would you get up and read that? Why would you say that? That sermon was so good as long as you talked about the glory of heaven and all of that, my friend, if that were in heaven, it would not be holy. If you could walk in there committing these crimes, you would not be holy. The truth is that a holy God demands a holy people and has every right to. The holy God says, what? Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. My brothers and sisters, you cannot live in the hog pen all of your life and waltz into the city of God on the day of judgment. You cannot let that day catch you. What does it say? They got awful mad at Granny one time because you preached a sermon at a funeral and it said, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. But that's exactly what Jesus said. How would you like to have your life frozen exactly like it is right now? Right this minute. How would you like, for this minute, everything to be preserved and stand before God like it is? No more prayers, no more search, no more healing, no more pleading, no more anything. Everything is going to be quick frozen right now, and you're going to stand before God. One day that's going to happen. Death or the coming of the Lord is going to catch us, and we're going to stand before God. I can tell you, if you're caught in a thieving position, you won't go to heaven. Did I just not read it to you? It's not something I made up. If you're caught in an immoral situation, you're not going to heaven. If you're caught in a situation of perversion or lying, you're not going to heaven. You say, man, that narrows the field. He said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. This wonderful thing that we have, that we're good American citizens, we are a Christian country, and we're all going to heaven, is not true. I'm glad to be an American. I'm proud of the red, white, and blue. I'm a flag-waving, foot-stomping, star-spangled banner patriot all the way. I can listen to a band play Stars and Stripes Forever and get tears in my eyes. I love my country. But my friend, being a good American will not take me through the gates of the city. What will take me through the gates of the city is knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when I know Him as my Savior, I'll conform my lifestyle to what He asks me to conform it to. You remember Isaiah? You remember him? I read to you from Isaiah in the first of the sermon. You remember how Isaiah was carried into heaven and he looked up and he saw all the glory of God and he heard the seraphim crying, holy, holy, holy. And the other one would say, holy, holy, holy. And all around they were crying holy and winnowing their wings and praising God. And as John saw in the Revelation, I didn't read to you the rest of it, but you know what the next verse says? Isaiah is devastated. When he saw all of the holiness of God and the greatness of God and the mercies of God, he fell on his face and said, woe is me, for I have seen God,
and I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips, and I'm not going to make it. I'm going to be destroyed. God is so holy, and God is so righteous, and I've been in His presence, and I'm done for. I'm a dead man. I'm gone. And what happened? An angel reached and took a coal off of the altar of the fire in heaven in the temple and touched him with it. And he was cleansed. And he was made whole, and he could stand in the presence of God. And my friend, before the altar in heaven, this is not an altar, this is a prayer place. The altar in heaven has on it a sacrifice. And the sacrifice is Jesus Christ. And He died for the sins of the whole world. And my friend, if you're touched, whoo, do you feel that? If you're touched, I don't care what sin you've committed. I don't care how black and dark your life has been. I don't care how tangled up it is. I don't care how stupid it is. I don't care how ungodly it is. If you're touched by the man at the altar in heaven, your sins are gone. You say, you'd look forward to standing before God in heaven? Indeed I do. You say, but you say you're a sinner. I have sinned, and I have come short of the glory of God. I daily praise God for my forgiveness, and daily beg Him to forgive me of those sins I commit daily. And I know there are holiness people hereabouts who will tell you they've never sinned since they repented 40 years ago. I'm sorry they took up lying. I mean, they'd been better off to gone to the show than to took up lying. Of course I don't want to go out and willfully sin. Of course I don't want to go out and do dastardly and terrible things. But the truth of it is, my friend, I am a sinner and I need the grace of God. And I beg you today, fall on your face before Him that sits on the throne while you're on this side. Because if He comes today, the praying's over. If Jesus allows you to leave this world by the way of death today, the praying's over. The restitution's done. It's sealed and settled that way for eternity. Do you want to have to stand before God in the condition you're in today? Think about it, my friends. You will. We will stand, if we're saved and redeemed, in the first resurrection. But every single person who's ever lived in the world will one day stand before this holy God. And the word in heaven is holy, means separated to God. And if you have not been, that's where we get the word saint. That's why we call the people in the church saints, because they've been sanctified. They've been made holy. If you've got sin on your life today, my grandmother's people over in Carroll County would have said, get shed of it. Get rid of your sin. You don't have to take it. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to bear it. And you don't have to go to hell. In fact, God don't want you to go to hell. He said it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He pleads with you. He sent His Son to die for you. He gave Himself for you, that you could live for eternity and not die. And I ask you today, give up, Howard Goodman used to sing, and let Jesus take over. My brothers and sisters, the word in heaven is holy because it is a holy God, a holy place, a holy throne, a holy city, and only holy people can go there. And you say, well, you didn't say what the saints who've gone on are doing. They're just resting. Did you read that? They're under the altar, and they're resting, and they're waiting for the opportunity of the resurrection till they will be a whole living soul again. And you know what they say to Him? How long? How long do we have to wait till you go and we go with you? How long does it have to be? And He gives them crowns and white robes and says, wait just a little longer.
till your brethren on earth are ready and the number is complete. My friend, if you've been paying attention, it's just about time. I'm looking for him. I'd like for him to come before I get out of here. I'm anxious to see him. You say, really? Yes. I mean that. I would be happy if Jesus came today. I would be delighted to stand before him. And I could forget the IRS. And a lot of other things that I'd like to forget. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? Don't you want to be part of heaven for eternity? You don't want to be lost. You don't want Christ to come and leave you behind. You don't want death to come and preserve you in the state of sin that you're in. You can be saved. You can go to heaven. And you can rejoice through the eternities with God. Father, in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, we come again into your presence. And Lord, I want to thank you for your amazing grace. I want to thank you, Father, that even though we're so unworthy to stand in the midst of all of that holiness, one day you're going to let us by your grace. Father, you came to us when we were sinners and you offered us salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, when we didn't know any better. And Lord, when we were sinning and ungodly, you came to us, and I thank you for it. And I pray now, Father, as we open this service to come for prayer, that people will yield their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and his amazing grace. Amen. I invite you to come for whatever your needs are, and we're here to pray for you and to bless you. And this congregation will act as a prayer team and pray with me. Let's sing. Would you stand?
glad you came to church this morning. God bless you. Come back this evening. We have service at 6 o'clock. Find out what they say in hell. They're talking down there, you know. And then on Wednesday evening, we have services, and we invite you to come. We have young people's on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. And we invite you to come back next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. Trust God. We have Sunday school at 9:45. The adults are up here. Young people are downstairs. And then the other building is coming along. And we praise God that you have the opportunity to have children's church down there. And Charlie gets down there with them kids, and they get to praying. And sometimes they speak in tongues. Yeah. And they worship God and glorify Him. And we're glad for that. Father, we pray now the benediction of your Spirit, the power of your grace, and the love of the Almighty God will go with us and keep us, sanctify us, and use us to your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.